We're now beginning the sixth Mishnah, final Mishnah, Perikei in Arachim, and hopefully the first Mishnah in Perik Vav in Arachim. The sixth Mishnah in Arachim begins, Chayavei Arachim v'mashkin musam. If a person took one of the these type of erich nedarim, the dorim which he makes either his own value, which the Torah assigns him based upon his age, or someone else's value based upon the person's age and gender, he takes that vow upon himself, and the gizbar knows about this because it has to be told to the gizbar to assess guarantee that the age and the is the right age and the right assessment. So the gizbar sees that he's not coming forth with the money. The gizbar is the treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash. So, see, we mashkin also. They can take collateral, pledge, pawn from him. They go to his house and take it, and impel him to pay the money. He gets his collateral back, so that he fulfills his obligation, because he has no other impetus to force him to pay. Chayovi Chatos v'Hashemos, the Mishnah continues, Ein Mashkin Osam. Because Chayovi Chatos and Hashemos are sin offerings, various sins, which we're not going into the type of sins now, but the various sin offerings, types of sin offerings, and Bezin is not Mashkin Osam. Bezin doesn't take collateral for them, because since the person has a sense of sin, of guilt upon himself, he wants to atone, he wants to bring the kapora, and he has his own impetus to bring, and therefore we're not going to push him into bringing. He should bring it on his, he has the impetus to bring it on his own. Chayavi olos ushlamim, person made a vow to bring olos or shlamim, burnt offerings, or just shlamim we call peace offerings, to the Beis HaMikdash. And it could be either a neder and a dava. Neder, when he says, hurry, a lie, I have to bring an olo, I have to bring a shlamim. And the dava is where he says, this animal is an olo, or this animal is an adava. And the major difference being that which is upon me, and he's mafrish, he separates an animal to bring, and the animal dies, he still has to bring another animal because he hasn't fulfilled his obligation. His obligation was to bring, and Ol Nishlami didn't bring, the animal died. However, if he says this animal, and the animal dies, so there's no other way he can bring this animal, so he hasn't fulfilled his obligation, but he's exempt from his obligation because the animal died. Onis Rachmona Patri, the Torah exempts a disaster or catastrophe which is beyond the person's means and capabilities. So Chayavi Olos Yishlamim, the mashkim osam, since they're not sin offerings, he might dilly-dally not bring. So we take a mashkim, we take collateral, if we see that he's not coming, forthcoming in paying off his obligation. Now, the Rav points out that there is an element, the Chazal speak in several places, that an ola is mechaper on an asay, and on a lower degree of love, called the love shenitik la'aseh, it's a lower degree of love because there's no malchus, because it's attached to an aseh. For instance, the case of Shluch HaKan, when you're not allowed to take the mother while you're taking the birds, rather you have to shoo the mother away, the person held on to the mother, he's over the love, but it's nitik la'aseh, he can still send the mother away. Fix the love. There's a little bit of machlokas in this, in Makkah, exactly what the nature of a love shenitik l'aseh is, but it's a lesser degree of love. And an aseh, and ola, will atone for it as it will for an aseh. Nevertheless, the Mishnah does not view it like a chatos, where we're not mamashkinin, because the chatos, the Torah obligates him to bring the chatos in the Yoshim. The Torah never says anywhere that you have to bring an ola for a sin. Chazal tell us that an ola has certain therapeutic benefits if a person did sin with an asir or love shnitik liaseh, but he's not obligated to bring it. So if he's not obligated to bring it, he might dilly-dally, and therefore we're memashkin for ola as well as for shlamim. Then the Mishnah continues, afal pishin miskaper lo ad shiyisratzeh. Even though the ola, and here miskaper really isn't the exact meaning, but even though an ola doesn't work, it doesn't have full effect perhaps any effect, actually yisratza, until the person really, really wants to bring it of his own free will. Shenemar liritzono, according to his own free will. Nevertheless, if a person is dilly-dallying and not bringing the ola, koifeno so, we force him to bring it, achiyomar rotzani, until he says, I really want to bring it. We can beat him up, Bezin can beat him up, or monetarily force him into bringing the ola. V'chein ata omer begitei nashim, koifeno so achiyomar rotzani. And the same thing we find by divorce, by women, if Bezdin finds that a woman is entitled to a get, that the husband is repulsive to her or whatever, he's impotent, whatever, there are various categories, so the Shachbar, the whole Sefer on his Gevuras Anashim, there are cases where Bezdin will tell a man, you have to divorce your wife. And the man doesn't want to divorce the wife. Bezdin tells him you have to according to law. So the Gemara says, "V'chein ato omer begidei nashim kofeno." So he can force him. You can beat him. Al shiomer rod sanim. And the Rambam, you can force him until he says, "Yes, I want to give this get with my total free will. This is not a get kofu. It's not a get asu meusa. It's not a forced get. I really want to give this get." And the Rambam explains the concept in Pirik Beis Halacha Chaf in Hilchos Gerushin. The Rambam says that if you have a situation where you have a person who Bezin Paskind that he has to give a get, according to the rules of Gerushin, that the wife simply cannot live with him, and Bezin forces him to give a get. So either Bezin forces him, or a Jew, a shliach of Bezin, gets the non-Jewish population to force him. But it has to be a Jew there. If the non-Jewish population on their own are aware that there's a situation, it's a guna situation, and Bezin, or here in this case where Bezin paskin that he has to give a get, and on their own they beat the fellow up and he says, Rotsani, I want to give it. So there, the get is not null, but it's pasul. And a pasul get, whereas it's not a valid get, to permit her to marry another man, it will pasul her from marrying a kohen. It's called a get pasul. So the Rambam explains why they're certainly in the case of a bezin where it's a valid get, or even a Jew hiring at the request of bezin goyim to beat him up, it's a valid get. The Rambam explains that really every Jew, on a basic level, he wants to do the right thing. He wants to keep Torah, he wants to keep mitzvahs, he wants to listen to Bezdin, he wants to be part of the Jewish community as an upstanding and upright, proper Jew. And the thing that gets in his way is his Yetzer Hara. It's not his will not to give the get when Bezdin tells him to. It's his Yetzer Hara, his evil inclination, overpowers him and gets in the way of his rationality. So the beating that he gets from Bezdin sort of weakens the Yetzer Hara's control over him and enables his own free will and his own rationality to come forth and say, Rotsani, I really want to do it, because he really does want to do it. His own rational state is to do Torah, is to do mitzvah, is to listen to Bezdin, and to do what an upright and proper Jew does. So this is the end of the fifth perek. The sixth perek begins now with how Bezdin goes about selling land to pay off certain debts. Shum hayisomim, if there's an evaluation that Bezin is forced to sell off land that is owned by orphans, by yisomim, in order to pay off debts that the father owes. And the Rav explains that there are essentially three situations, three basic situations, where Bezin will not sell land that belongs to Yisomim, to orphans. However, in a case where a father took a loan from a non-Jew who was charging him interest, in those days interest was large amounts of money, and it was eating away at the property and was destroying the whole Yerusha of the Yisomim, of the orphans, then Bezin will appoint an apotropos and a guardian to sell the land in the fashion that the Mishnah is going to mention. Second is if there's a if there's a ksuba, an outstanding ksuba, so as long as the mother is not the wife of their father, might not be their mother, as long as she's not paid her ksuba, then they have to feed her. So it's in their, and the mizonos, they have to provide her food. So it's in their advantage to pay off her ksuba, because after an amount of time, the food that they feed her will eat away at their inheritance, principle of their inheritance. Also, in a situation, if the father owed a debt, and before he died, Bezin was minade him, they put him into excommunication because he was refusing to pay that debt. Or the father told the children that there is a debt that he has, and they have to pay it. So it's an outstanding debt, and he tells them to pay it, and then he dies. They have to pay it, or the time for payment didn't yet arrive. Usually the stam time for payment for a loan is 30 days, but the loan stipulated 6 months, whatever. But the date of payment, the loan was due, was not up yet when the father died, and it became due at a later date. So when it becomes due, the Yisomim have to pay that debt. So when Bezin appoints this guardian, they want to get a good price for the Yisomim, and Bezin's going to appraise the land, but they want people to bid up the price and make it even higher. So the Shum HaYisomim is 30 Yom, that for 30 days, and we'll see, it's a time when when Poelim, when workers go out to work in the morning, come back in the evening, announcement is being made that Bezin has evaluated the land for such and such a value, and if there are multiple bidders, of course the price will come up, and so for 30 straight days, every single day, Shabbos, but days, work days, for 30 straight days, they announce this in the morning and the evening as workers are going to work and coming back from work. Vishuma Hektish. If there is Hektish land that was given over to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Gizber wants to have this land appraised because he needs money for the Bedek HaBayis to maintain the Beis HaMikdash, so that's Shishim Yom. Now, it's different though. The case of the Yisomim, there was every single day, except for Shabbos, every single day. But for the case of Hektish, it's over a 60-day period, but it's on Monday and Thursdays. So starting with the first Monday, the Rav points out, it'll come out to be actually in 18 different days over a 6 month period, a 60-day period, not 6 months, 60 days. 60-day period, it'll come out to be 18 different times. How so? Because you have 8 weeks first, starting on a Monday. So the first week at Monday to Sunday, 8 weeks of that. So 8 times 2, they're Tuesday, Mondays and Thursday is 16. Then after the 8th week, that's 56 days, there's still 4 days left. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, which will bring in, so over 8 weeks there are 16, and over an additional 4 days, another Monday and Thursday, that'll bring it up to 18 times. But nevertheless, since it's over a 60-day period, it gives a certain advantage to Hektish. And the Mishnah mentions Machrizin Baboker Ube'erev. And in both cases, the agents of the either Bezdin, in the case of the Yisomim, in the case of the orphans, or of the Beis HaMikdash, or Machrizin, but they announce, make this announcement in the morning, Baboker Ube'erev. Now the Mishnah goes on. Hamakdish nechasov. A person is makdish his property. V'hoisa olav kesubas isha, and he happened to have an outstanding ksuba. The wife can collect from the from the land. The ksuba has bound is binding on the land, and that she can collect even from Hekdesh. Reb Eliezer Omer, Kishia Gershena, when he divorces her, after he was Makdish Lin, he divorces the wife. He has the Yad, the various Girsos here, some Yad Ireno Hanoa, some Yidor Hanoa, Yidor Hanoa, Yad, the Mishnah here has Yadir Hanoa. This all means the same thing. He has to take a neder that he's not going to have any benefit from her ever again. And the neder has to be made by Aldas Rabim, the Rav points out, which is a neder, according to the language of the Rav, neder she'en lo ha-Torah, that you can't be matir. That type of neder has no ha-Torah. Shelo yaks yiren al-dilam, so he'll never be able to marry her again. Why? What are we afraid of? Why does he have to make such a neder? The shema bi-orma megareish lo. Maybe it's a plot. He's being crafty, he's being tricky. Kadesha tigve ksuba so, so that she can collect her ksuba mina hektish, from hektish. In other words, since she has liens on the land that precede those of hektish, so he'll divorce her, she'll collect her ksuba from the hektish, and then he'll remarry her and get land back. So that's why he has to be madir hanua. They can have no benefit from her, can never marry her again. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, eino tzorich. He doesn't have to do so, because really, if he wanted to, this is what the machlok is contingent upon, whether a person can make she'elah on hektish. Rabbi Yossi holds he can. There's no reason to go so far, because if he wanted to get the land back, he'd be shoel, he'd go to chachamim, he'd matir his, the hektish is a type of neder also, nidri hektish is a neder too, and he can matir that neder, so we say it's betos, it was something, you know, there was just find some type of regret in Pesach and some opening to matir the neder, and as a result, you don't have to go so far as to matir ha'anua, because he can be, if he really wanted the land back, he could be shoel on his neder. Ein utzorech. Kiyotzbo, in a similar case, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, af ho ha'orev le'isha b'ksuboso. An orev is a person who's a guarantor. So he is a guarantor for the husband, that if the husband can't come up with the land for the pay off the wife's ksuba, this orev will pay the debt. Give some his land. The Gemara in the Bava Basra mentions the two types of arvim. There's an arev stam and an arev kabel. The difference is, by an arev stam, the creditor has to first go to the debtor. An arev kablin, the creditor can go, is a much stronger type of arev, and go straight to the arev kablin, that he takes full responsibility to pay. So he can go. They can come to him first. Anyhow, afo arev lo isha b'ksubasa. If a man was an arev for another man in terms of the wife's ksuba, v'hoya bala megarsha, and the husband went to divorce her, he also has to be yadir hanoa. He also has to take a neder that he's not going to have any hanoa from her. Because maybe they're planning against the Yorev, but Yagzer is Ishto. He has to take a vow that will prevent him from, again, Al Das Rabim, a public vow that will prevent him from marrying her, so that there might be a Kanunya, a plot. And what's the plot? She'll come to the Yorev and get her land back. The husband will claim he has poverty, he can't pay back, so the Yorev will pay back the land. And then he'll remarry the woman, and he'll get his land, and he'll get his wife back, and he'll get his and his land back. So that was the plot against the Yorev. Now here, there's a question as to whether the Mishnah says kiyotzi bo, so the same machlokas Reb Lezer and Reb Yeshua. Reb Yeshua would say enosorik, and he doesn't have to Question is, why would he not have to do it in this case? In the case of Hekdesh, he could be shul on his neder. Possibly, maybe the machlokus is only by the case of hektish, not in the case of the arev. Interesting thing: the Mishnah mentions at the end kenunya. The Rav mentions the word kenunya, explains it orma, a strategy, a plot, a conspiracy, in between the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer and the sheet of Rabbi Yehoshua. And the Tosfos Yom Tov points this out, doesn't come up till after the second part of the Mishnah, where it speaks about the case of the Orev, about the guarantor. So the Tosfos Yom Tov starts by saying, it's a very interesting Tosfos Yom Tov. Kenunya Pirashti Hamila B'Shem HaTishbi, Mishnah Perikam B'Dabav Metziah. Some parish called the Tishbi. V'hoda the Hikdim HaRav, he's brought by that the Rav explains the word Kenunya earlier in the Mishnah. L'forshu bein parish to Rabbi Yezer, L'divi Rabbi Yehoshua. Between the Shittas of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua, even though the word doesn't come up in the Mishnah, till after that point, he says the Rav copied these words from Rashi's Perish in the Mishnah in Erechin. Now the Rashi on the Mishnayos in the Gemara is not essentially a Perish on the Mishnayos. He's a Perish on the Mishnayos only in the perspective of setting up the your understanding of the Mishnah, so you'll understand the Mishnah as the Gemara begins to understand it, and perhaps changes that understanding later on. But the Rav here copied from Rashi, of a Rashi lo Perish o Dovre b'chol Mishnah. Because since the Gemara explains the whole Mishnah out, the Rav is a commentary, the chief commentary on Mishnayos. So he has to explain what the Gemara explains on the Mishnah. But Rashi doesn't have to, because the Rashi will say, you know, simply that the Meforish Kamen B'Gemara, the Gemara will explain it later on. L'fisha B'Gemara Mispereshes, because it's all explained in the Gemara. So V'hoil Hadvori Marim came, Shiyat HaRav Osesozos, that he uses poetic language, that the hand of the Rav, of the bartender himself, did this in purpose. Umiito hoiso hatokoso bedibur kanunya, and he intentionally copied Rashi like this from the word kanunya lekoso shlobim komo, to write in the improper place in the Mishnah. Lefichach lo shalachti bo yad lahamido bimkomo. Therefore, I didn't send forth my hand to make any corrections over here, to put it in this proper place. An interesting Tosfos Yom Tov, which shows his tremendous respect for the Rav.